Over passages that are just about exalting our Lord. Amen. And that's this passage tonight, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And yeah, I heard someone say once, you can never go wrong. You just preach Jesus. That's so true. And this passage just is about Jesus, our Savior. Notice verse 15 of Colossians 1, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So tonight we're going to take our title from verse 18. He might have the preeminence. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time in your word. And we thank you for the privilege of opening your word and just exalting Jesus. And may that stir our hearts tonight in praise and worship and in service and in faithfulness and obedience. Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified and guide us now, and that this would honor you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We find at least ten things in this short little passage about Jesus. And it's all about Jesus having the preeminence, which we're going to talk about. But God wants him to have the preeminence not only in the universe, but in our lives, as we will see. But first, let's talk about these amazing truths about our Savior tonight. First of all, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. As we'll see, Jesus has always been. Jesus is God. But God, in his sovereignty, made a decision that he should become a man, that he might pay the price for our sin. If you look at 1 Timothy 3:16, and it's the greatest story ever told. The story of the incarnation of the Creator of the universe. That Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The Bible says in John 4:24, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But Jesus became the human image of God. 1 Timothy 3:16, this is without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen? God became a man. And became the image of the invisible God. If you go to 2 Corinthians 4:4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible teaches that he is the image of God, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, there it is, who is the image of God should shine unto them. So the first thing we see in this passage about Jesus tonight is he is the image of the invisible God. He was the manifestation that man could see of the invisible God. Secondly, verse 15 of Colossians 1, the Bible says he's the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature. In Hebrews 1, the Bible says he bringeth the first begotten into the world. Again, this isn't saying that Jesus ever was created or born. He's always been, as we'll see. But he was the first time that God became a man and came into this world, which makes him the firstborn of every creature. And then verse 16, it says, for by him were all things created. So this is Jesus Christ we're talking about tonight. He says, things that are in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. And so Jesus is the creator. Amen. Yes, he became a man, but Jesus is God, and thereby he is the creator. In John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And so we see here he's the creator, but he's also sovereign as the creator. Not only were everything made by him, but everything was made for him. And we often forget that part. that God didn't just willy-nilly say, I'm just going to make stuff just to make it. No, he made it for his own pleasure. He made a decision to make the universe, to make man, to make the animals. It was for him. He did it for himself. And we see that in Revelation 4:11, if you want to turn there. Creation wasn't an accident and it wasn't a big bang. It was God creating what he wanted to create. He not only made everything, but he made it for himself. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So it was for God's pleasure. He said, I want to make this, I want to make this, because I'm God and I can do what I please. But it was for his pleasure. So that makes him sovereign over his creation. Amen? So we see already that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, the creator, the sovereign one. But it says in verse 17, and he is before all things. Here we find out about the eternality of Jesus Christ. Remember he said there in John 8, when they were questioning him about Abraham, Jesus said, before Abraham was, what? I am. In other words, I've always been. In Micah 5:2, the Bible says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me he that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Jesus Christ has always been. But this last part of verse 17 is pretty amazing. As God, he not only created everything, it was not only created for his pleasure, but he's also the one that holds it all together. Notice it says, by him all things consist. The Bible's not written as a science book, but that's a pretty heavy scientific statement right there, isn't it? That God holds everything together. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. That Jesus keeps the universe running. He set it up the way he pleased, but he also keeps it running the way he pleases. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding, see that word upholding there in Hebrews 1:3? Upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus Christ upholds everything. By him all things consist. He's what holds it together. And then verse 18, it gets more personal for us. He's the head of the body, the church. Remember, the church is the bride of Christ, and Israel is God the Father's wife. But Jesus Christ is the head of the body. He is the chief shepherd of the one body of Christ. The Bible says his body in Ephesians 1:23, which filleth, there's the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so he is the head of the church. He's also, verse 18, the beginning. Here he's referring to Revelation 1, where he says he's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning of the creation of God, Revelation 3:14. Jesus is the beginning of all things and the firstborn from the dead. So in verse 15, he's the firstborn of every creature, but here he's the firstborn from the dead. In other words, he's the first to raise himself from the dead. And no one's ever done that, and no one ever will raise themselves from the dead. But Christ did. He died for our sins and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen? He's the firstborn from the dead. And then verse 18, go to 19, and we'll come back to 18. In verse 19, it says, For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Look at verse chapter 2, verse 9 of Colossians. Colossians 2:9, it says, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I love that verse. It's short, but look what it's saying. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he was the bodily manifestation of the Godhead, but in all of its fullness. You've heard people say that Christ gave a lot up to come to earth but as far as his deity, but the Bible doesn't teach us that at all. He was 100% God and 100% man. It wasn't 50-50. It doesn't work that way. He is the fullness of everything. And so just in these short verses, he's the image of God, the firstborn of every creature, the creator, the sovereign one. He's always been. By him all things consist. He's the head of the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. Which leads us to verse 18, because this is all about exalting Jesus. Amen. And it says that in all things he might have the preeminence. The preeminence. That's an interesting word, isn't it? How many words have two E's in a row like that? Preeminence. In other words, first place in every possible thing and way, Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence. So now it brings it down to us, doesn't it? That God wants Jesus Christ to have the preeminence in everything in our lives. What does that mean? He should have preeminence in our goals. Amen. In our hearts and minds, our desires, our time, our service, our hearts. We should have no idols in our hearts. Jesus should have supremacy over everything. You know why? Because Christianity is not a religion, is it? Christianity is a person. It's Jesus. We've talked about it before, but how many of the hymns, if we just randomly open the hymn book, are going to talk about Jesus? Most of them. Why? Because it's God's will, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, would have preeminence. That's why Jesus, when he was talking about the Holy Ghost and how he was going to come to earth, he says, he shall not speak of himself. The Holy Ghost is the silent one, if you will, of the Godhead. He did not come to earth to exalt himself. He came to earth to exalt Jesus Christ. Which is another reason why all this charismatic emphasis on the Spirit can't be of God, because he didn't come to talk of himself, did he? He came to talk about Jesus, came to lift up Jesus, he came to promote Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that might have the preeminence. And only one can have the preeminence. That's Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. And so it's God's will that as we think about Christ and how amazing he is, all these different things we've seen in this passage, it's God's will that we as his children make sure that he has the preeminence in our lives. That he's number one in every possible way. Now, what does the devil want? He wants us to put other things above Christ, doesn't he? He wants us to prioritize other things above Christ. Our things in our lives, our time, our desires, and so forth. The devil's always trying to get us to have these idols in our heart that we put above Jesus. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Even the unsaved are going to bow the knee to Jesus. Now, it'll happen at the great white throne judgment. It'll be too late to do anything. But they will bow. Every knee will bow. Why? That he might have the preeminence. Look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. This is a glimpse of us singing in heaven. Look what it says. I beheld, Revelation 5:11. And I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." That's us in heaven. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Only the Lamb, as we walk through Revelation, is worthy of all glory and honor and power and blessing and salvation and all these other things, because it's God's will that he might have the preeminence. He should have the preeminence in every aspect of our lives. That's a lofty goal, and it's something we should be working toward until he comes. Amen? Because we all know we're self-centered and selfish, and so we struggle with this, to put Jesus first in our decisions, to put Jesus first and our desires and our goals. But that's God's will. And so in the midst of exalting him in this amazing passage, that in all things he might have first place in every aspect of our lives as Christians. Everything. What we want, what our desires are, what our goals are, what we praise God for, even what we pray for. Our goal should always be that Jesus Christ has the preeminence in everything. Because he is the one that's worthy. Amen. He's the one that gave us everything. He's the one that became the manifestation of the Godhead bodily for one express purpose, to die for us. In return, he says, I should have the preeminence in everything. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and just a reminder tonight, what a wonderful Savior we serve. What a wonderful Savior has saved us and given us eternal life. And Lord, I pray that now the focus of our lives would be to give Jesus Christ the preeminence in all things. I pray that this would be real for us. Thank you for speaking to us. We love you.